Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Psalms 32:1. Do you like that scripture? Well, I surely do. That means the Lord has taken my sins away, and Christ paid my debt on Calvary and made atonement for my transgression. In Isaiah, the 53rd chapter, and verses 4 and 5, we find these words. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we're healed. Thank the Lord for his saving, keeping, and healing power. Those of you who heard the last broadcast may recall that I spoke concerning the hypocrite's hope and how it was going to perish. Dear ones, did you know that it is a fearful thing to be a hypocrite? This is someone who knows better, but rather than measure up to the truth, they go on in their self-righteousness. If they continue in such a state without the grace of God, they will miss heaven and be rejected in that final day of judgment. This scripture says, "For the congregation of hypocrites shall be desolate, and fire shall consume the tabernacles of bribery. They conceive mischief and bring forth vanity, and their belly prepareth deceit." Job 15:34-35. But in speaking of our sins being covered, and thinking of those who are self-righteous, I'm reminded of this scripture in Isaiah 28:20. I quote, "For the bed is shorter than that a man can stretch himself on it, and the covering narrower than that he can wrap himself in it." Did you ever go to bed in cold weather and try to keep warm with some covers which weren't long enough for you to wrap yourself up in? How I do remember that chilly night when sleeping in a tent. Well, really it was in the summertime there at the National Camp Meeting when we used to have services in the Monarch Springs Park. This particular night, it just got real cold. Now, one of those canvas cots don't provide much warmth underneath you without some bedding on it. The little bit of bedding material which I had to divide up between top and bottom just wasn't enough. You know what I did? I got up during the night and put on my clothes, and then lay back down and tried to keep warm enough to sleep. But truthfully, it was rather a miserable night, and I was glad when morning came. Do you know, this is the way it is with folks who are trying to cover up their sins with their own self-righteousness. Their conscience hurts them, and other folks can see how they're living. In fact, their lives just speaks for itself. Now, let me show you what is really happening in many cases. They want measure to the truth, and often they hinder others who would come to the truth. Listen to this scripture which Jesus gave concerning the hypocrites. "But woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye shut up the kingdom of heaven against men, for ye neither go in yourselves, neither suffer ye them that are entering to go in." Matthew 23:13. Just think of the condemnation which is going to come on those who not only have to give an account for their own sins, but they have been responsible for keeping other folks from walking in the light and accepting the truth. In Psalms 1 and verse 1, we find these words. "Blessed is a man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful." I say it means something to not walk in the counsel of the ungodly, nor to stand in the way of sinners. You see, sinners are watching your life. And if you are not an example, then how do you expect them to measure to the truth? Surely we should walk before others in a careful manner. And remember, we're standing before the Lord, and he also is watching our life. Scarcely a one of us could live in this world and not have influence over another. But now, let us go one step further. Even though there are many hypocrites and many things which stand in the way of sinners, It is possible for a sinner who is an unsaved man to enter into the kingdom of God before these hypocrites do. That is exactly what happened even in the days of Jesus. Many of the publicans and sinners heard him gladly, accepted the truth, and were no doubt saved, even while the Pharisees and the hypocrites were stumbling over the deep truths which Jesus presented, often in very simple manners, such as parables. It is written that the common people heard him gladly. If it is your fervent desire to know the truth and to walk in it, the hypocrites cannot keep you out of the kingdom of God. Now, let me give you the other part of this poem, Mr. Skeptical's Experience, Part 2, How He Became Converted. Pastor Faithful, glad to greet you. Many years have passed away since we had that conversation, and our heads are getting gray. How my views I came to alter, you would like to have me state? Well, I will with greatest pleasure. As you ask, the facts relate. As the years advanced, the harder grew my heart in unbelief, till it finally was humbled by a great and piercing grief. In the furnace of affliction I was placed for many days. Thus at last I was awakened. God alone shall have the praise. Then I saw my lost condition and how foolish I had been, just because of others' failures, to continue on in sin. Though I seldom had confessed it, some I all along had known, whom I felt were true and faithful. This I was compelled to own. First of all, the Christian living of a mother firm and true spoilt my skeptical conclusions, just as nothing else could do. Next to that, the testimonies of the power of saving grace made a permanent impression which I never could erase. Then I met some joyful Christians, so unlike the mournful kind, that so long and very sorely had perplexed my doubting mind. Sometimes, too, an earnest pastor called and warned me faithfully, preaching Christ and coming judgment and the great eternity. All these agencies of spirit pressed with power upon my heart, till he through and through had pierced me with conviction's pointed dart. All the agony I suffered in those moments none can tell, hopeless of the joys of heaven, threatened with the woes of hell. Sleep forsook my wakeful eyelids. All my sins appeared to rise like so many mighty mountains right before my very eyes. Then I tried to pray for mercy, but no prayer my lips would say. Then I sent for neighbor Pius, whom I knew had power to pray. For I knew he had religion, just the kind the Bible taught. Had I watched him late and early, 20 years or more, for naught? Well, he came, and such a meeting I had never seen before, as I kneeled in deep contrition with him on the chamber floor. All my sins I there abandoned, yielding all without reserve, all the world, the flesh, the devil, vowing nevermore to serve. Then, by faith, I saw my Savior and his wondrous love for me. Like a slave with fetters sundered, in an instant I was free. Soon the witness of the Spirit to my own was freely given, testifying to my pardon and my title clear to heaven. Then my pastor preached a sermon which made very clear and plain how on earth a full salvation every child of God may gain. That was just the kind I wanted, and believed the Bible taught, so I made the consecration and the blessed fullness sought. While I see my former folly and lament it every hour, still it grieves me that so many have a form without the power. And I want to be so faithful that I never thus will be such a stumbling block to others as professors were to me. Selected. Let us pray. Our gracious Father, help us to honor you both in word and in deed. We thank you for the privilege of sending forth the true gospel over this radio station, and we ask you that the seed sown may fall into good and honest hearts. Break down the barriers which stand in the way of those hypocrites who are only professing to serve God and have no genuine life of Christ within them. Especially bless the sinner man who may be honest at heart but knows that he is away from God. Then we pray especially for the saints who listen to the broadcast scattered throughout the various areas of the country. Comfort their hearts and give them standing grace to live for Thee. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, friends, for taking the time to listen. If we may be of further help to you, we invite you to write us. Tell us of your burden, that we may be agreed with you in prayer. Address your letter to The Mission Trail, Guthrie, Oklahoma.
Prayer is the key on the bending knee to open the Lord's first hours. See the incense rise to the stars.
Until we meet again, this is Willie Murphy saying, may God's richest blessings be with each of you, and a very cheerful goodbye.